Whoa, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Wow. Oh, Holy Spirit, we hear your call. We hear you saying, come gather together, come engage, come connect, because I'm going to do something today. I just hear that so strongly in my spirit this morning, that it's significant that we come together and respond to that place that he calls us. Good morning. Good morning, Harvest Christian Church. Good morning to those who are connected with us online. We're delighted to be together and to be together with excitement and anticipation and joy, a lot of joy today. I just sense so strongly a place of joy. It's joy because it's his joy. He's delighted to see each of us, and so then we step into his joy, and it's wonderful to be there. You know, in the United States, today is called Super Bowl Sunday. You can sit down for just a minute. Today is called Super Bowl Sunday, and whether you're a big fan and you're all out and you have a plan to, you know, get in front of your TV screen today and watch a game or join with other people, or you really, you hardly knew it was Super Bowl Sunday. Maybe you're that way, but it's hard to be in this country and not hear about it somehow, right? Hear about it in different ways. And, you know, God uses different things as ways to encourage us and teach us. And he said, you know, it's a parable. And I thought, well, Lord, if you're asking me to share it, I'm not very good at football. But he still said, today, to encourage you today, whether you are somebody sitting in front of the game intently, somebody just aware of it in your household as others are doing that, or you're just aware of it because it's going around. You know, you're going to, if you connect and see, if you look, you're going to see three basic key positions. You're going to see a bunch of people in the stands. Excited, a little bit crazy looking, some of them, you know, all wound up. You're going to see the sidelines of the field full of activity and people. I don't know what all they do. And then you're going to see on the field itself. That's where the action is. And God says, you know, I've called you to be part of where the action is. God has definitely not called us to be in the stands. There are ones who have gone beyond us, gone before us into the heavenly realms, who are part of a cloud of witness who might be cheering us on, but we're not those ones. We're here. We're engaged now. And God says, engage and know, I called you to be part of my team. You know, I've noticed this week in different places on the news and different ways that different players have been featured, you know, different ones interviewed, especially those quarterbacks. You know, they're interviewed and they're talked to, and they're individuals who are part of the game, but they know and they acknowledge, and we know it's part of the whole team. And so I look around here, and I'm aware that there's a lot of us individuals, and we have significance, we have value, we have importance in this game that we're participating in what we're engaged in, what we're connected to. But it's all about the whole. All about the whole. Each one of us, I don't know how, where you feel you are, but I want to say you're part of us and you're part of the whole. You're part of the whole of what's taking place. And so there should be a great sense of identity with that, a great sense of excitement that you're part of the whole. But as part of the whole, you have to engage. You know, you don't want to be the ones who are kind of non-productive. God said, I've made you productive. And I even heard as I was riding to church that we're way past halftime. We're way past it already. You know, I mean, I like the idea that there's a halftime, that no matter how the game's going, there's a place to go aside and kind of regroup and kind of hear the coach just inspire you and also exhort you and also correct you and all those things. But God says, I've already put you in and you're way past halftime. Yeah. That it's much more intense now. It's determining something, and we're in that place where there is. But to note, if you happen to catch on screen this game going on, not only the people playing, but think about those people on the sidelines. I mean, even today, as I was talking to Prophet Susie, and she was talking about the angelic activity around us, I thought, oh, that's part of it. I mean, they're ones on the sidelines ready to jump in and give water where it's needed, you know, to help someone with a part of their uniform if it's needed. They're there to be ready in case somebody stumbles, in case there's a health issue, a safety issue in any way, an injury issue. They're ready to take care of it and help and analyze things and get you back in the game. That's going on. But most of all on the sidelines, there's a key person called the coach. Now, I don't know all that coach does, but my sense is that's pretty significant. The one who makes the final decisions and has given the team, these are the plays. And we have Holy Spirit. And we are not out on the field of life just going our own way. We're connecting with the team, and we're not getting in the way of each other, but we're together as a team moving towards the victory that God has already set for us. But we have Holy Spirit. We have Holy Spirit who is directing every place. So if you happen to catch some of that game today, and you happen to see when the camera moves, you know, and focuses once in a while on the coach, just be reminded, don't forget, we have Holy Spirit. We have Holy Spirit guiding our life, and we just don't make our moves without Him. But how exciting that is. So how amazing to think, okay, we're engaged in life. We're active. We're not docile. We're not, you know, resting off. We are part of what's going on. And however it looks, and it looks pretty tense sometimes, no matter how it looks, how it feels, you know, I've seen some of those screenshots and it looks like the players, there's some anguish going on and some tenseness going on, but then you see that place of determination. Well, we can always be determined and full of joy and certainty because we know we're already on the winning team. I hate it when somebody says, okay, I'm going to record the game and you can watch it later. Well, who wants to watch it later after they already know who won or lost? You know, but actually we do. We're watching our game, but God says, just keep remembering, I've already won the victory and you're part of that. So if you're engaged and you're moving with me, no matter what it feels like, no matter who gets knocked down, the end is going to be the right end, the thing that we want in the end. Aren't you excited about that? Now, oh, I thought, that's not the one I'm reading. Thank you. I want to read a psalm for us. And so you better stand up for this. Because this is what we do, no matter, even if we're past halftime, but we're not at the end yet. All right. But we get to grab the end, you know, because we already know. So, you know, today on the news, they're talking about all the people betting on the game, trying to figure out what to wager for whom. Well, we know with certainty what's happening. And so we can do what it says in Psalm 47. Hey, go ahead and celebrate. Come on. Clap your hands, everyone. Come on. Clap your hands. Come on. We're clapping not just because of a good play. We're not clapping just because something amazing happened. We're clapping because we know. And then it says, shout to God with the raucous sounds of joy. Oh, come on. Help. can break some sound barriers just because of that. And it says, the Lord God Most High is astonishing, awesome beyond words. He's the formidable and powerful king over all the earth. I think they've talked about some formidable players in that, but no comparison to the one we're with. The formidable, powerful king over all the earth. He's the one who conquered the nations before us and placed them all under our feet. He's marked out our inheritance ahead of time, putting us in the front of the line, honoring Jacob, the one he loves. God arises with the ear-splitting shout of his people. Hey! Oh, Michael, I need you here. God goes up with a trumpet blast. Oh, can't you just hear it? Sing and celebrate. Sing some more. Oh, we're going to, right? Sing some more. Celebrate some more. Sing your highest song of praise to our King. For God is the triumphant King. The powers of earth are all His. Hey. So sing your celebration songs of highest praise to the glorious enlightened one. Our God reigns. Our God reigns over every nation. He reigns on His holy throne over all nobles and princes. The loving servants of the God of Abraham, and they all gather to worship. Every warrior's shield is now lowered as surrendered trophies before this king. He has taken his throne high and lofted, exalted over all. Let's get one of those shouts. Hallelujah!
Christ in me, the hope of glory, has come to set the captives free. His power and love displayed for all to see is Christ in me, the hope of glory. All glory and honor belong to you. All glory and honor belong to you. We lift you up higher and higher. We shout as one, your holy choir. We proclaim that you are God. We lift you up higher and higher. We shout as one, your holy choir. Power and love displayed for all to see is Christ in me, the hope of glory. All glory and honor belong to you. All glory and honor belong to you. We lift you up higher and higher. We shout. like our God. There is no one like you. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you. We lift you up higher and higher. We shout as one, your holy choir. We proclaim that you are God. Yeah, we lift you up higher and higher. We shout as one, your holy choir. We proclaim that you are God. We proclaim that you God, for your directives. When you say stand, we stand. When you say run, we run. When you say walk, we walk. When you say speak, we speak. When you say quiet, we're quiet. God, we listen and we immediately obey. But one of our most fun postures is that we shall run like mighty men. Shall climb the wall, and we'll do it in the right key, amen. Oh, we shall run like mighty men. We shall climb the wall like mighty men of war. We shall run everyone in his way. We shall stand together. We shall not break rank, holding up the banner of the Lord, casting down enemies, and holding up the banner of the Lord, destroy principalities, and holding up the banner of the Lord, setting the captives free, and holding up the banner of. Together, we shall not break rank, holding up the banner of the Lord, casting down enemies, and holding up the banner of the Lord, destroy principalities, and holding up the banner of the Lord, setting the captives free, and casting down enemies and holding up the banner of the Lord, destroy principalities and holding up the banner of the Lord, casting down enemies and holding up the banner of the Lord, holding the banner of the Lord, of the Lord, holding the banner of the Lord, casting down enemies and holding up the banner of the Lord. Destroy principalities and holding up the banner of the Lord. Setting the captives free and holding up the banner of the Lord. We lift your banner high, O God. We lift your banner high, O God. Listen and we obey. We listen and we obey. Oh, oh. We hear you bid us. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is holy. Be still, O restless soul of mine. Bow before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. Be still. Say yes, Lord. Oh, be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is faithful. Consider all that He has done. Amazed, know that He will never change. Be still. Say yes. Be still. Be still and know that He is God. Be still, I know that He is God. Be still, I know that He is God. Be still, be speechless. God, be still and know that He's our Father. Come rest your head upon His breast. Listen to the rhythm of His unfailing heart of love, beating for His little ones, calling each of us to come. Be still. Be still. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Be still. He is God. Be still. Be speechless. Be still and know that He is. is God. Be still and know that He's our Father. Come and rest your head upon His breast. Listen to the rhythm of His unfailing heart of love, beating for His little ones, calling each of us to come and be still. Be still. Every song we could ever sing, You're so, so worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. We live for You. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. We live for You. Beside You, I open up my eyes in wonder as You show me who You are and fill me with Your heart and lead me in Your love to those around me. Of every song we could ever sing, You're worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. God, You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. We live for You. Oh my Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. We live for You. Holy, there is no one like You. There is none beside You. Open up my show me who You are and fill me with Your heart and lead me in Your love to those around me. And I will trust in You alone. up my eyes in wonder as you show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. None beside you. I open up my eyes in wonder as you show me who you are and fill me with your heart, leading me in your love to those around me. At the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. We're filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all a new song to you who sits on heaven's mercy seat. You're clothed in rainbows of many colors, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength, glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings.
David, the precious king of the Lord God Almighty, went forth in battle. The singers marched before him. We are the singers for our Lord God Almighty as we go forth in joyful singing, giving praise to our Lord God Almighty. The battle is won. The battle is won as we come forth with singing and joy before our Lord God Almighty. The battle is won. The battle is won for the foot soldiers, the soldiers on the horses. All the angels of God are waiting for our mighty cry of joy, joy, joy to the Lord God Almighty, and singing in praise in the name of Jesus, thus saith the Lord.
Lift your hands right now. And just give the Lord a praise. The victory's already been won, so thank Him. Thank Him that you are more
Hallelujah.
Than conquerors, that you are victorious. So we thank you that we are more than conquerors. We thank you that you are our victory. And we thank you that we lift up a sound of victory. There is a sound of celebration. There is a sound of glory. There is a sound of His presence. So we welcome an invasion of the glory of your presence now, Lord. Come, Lord, as we celebrate, as we lift up the sound of victory, the sound, the triumph sound of our King. Come in, King Jesus, King of glory. We welcome your presence, Lord. In your presence is fullness. Just receive the fullness right now. He says, in His presence is His fullness. And the overflow of His fullness is the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. So receive fresh strength this morning. Let the joy of the Lord fill you. And let His strength overflow into your life and into your situation, circumstances. Oh, we welcome. And Father, in this place, we agree with heaven right now. We thank you that we're seated with you in heavenly places. And so we thank you from that place of being seated with you. That we speak into the circumstances. We speak into the situations. We thank you that we declare right now that you are ruling and you are reigning. We thank you that we pray your kingdom come and your will be done. That your will is being accomplished even right now in the earth. And so we thank you that, Father, the political, the economic, it's all, Father, under your control. And we thank you that in you we live, move, and have our being. And so we thank you for manifesting yourself in your church, in your body. We thank you that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And so we thank you this morning. Thank you right now for that conquering, Father, attitude. That we're more than conquerors, more than victorious. Thank you for creating in us right now a victorious culture. We thank you that you are Jehovah Nissi, the Lord God, our victory. And we shout with a voice of triumph. We shout unto our King with a voice of praise. We shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Yes! Yes! The victory is ours! The victory is ours! And we bless you. We honor you. Woo! Ha ha. Yeah. Woo. Have anything? Okay. Ha ha ha.
For the Lord says that I am putting my courage deep into the core of your being. For not only are you finding strength in the joy of the Lord, but I am imparting a measure of courage that is beyond even your comprehension. And the Lord says that my courage will be like a rod of steel inside of who you are. And you will not be moved to the left and you will not be moved to the right, but you are set upon the path, upon my path, and that is the path of life.
Yes. Ha, ha, ha. Yes. Woo. So receive courage this morning. Step into it. You know, grace operates by faith.
Yes.
God's grace has already said you have the courage.
Amen.
You already are victorious.
Amen.
And then He says, by faith, you access the grace. So He's done the work, He's completed it, but we access it by faith. For the righteous will live by faith. Amen. For by grace you are saved by grace. You are saved through faith. Amen. And so we have the victory. We already have it. Apostle Linda said, you know, we're past halftime. I'll say we're past the third quarter. And you know, most games are won at the end. They're not won at halftime. We saw that last week. It's those that adjust at halftime that endure and finish. And it's those that are still standing at the end that win. Amen. So we're going to finish strong. It's not over till it's over. And we know when it's over, when Jesus says it's over, and we know how it's going to finish. We're already more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us this morning. So he's strengthening us. Just lift your hands again and receive a fresh strengthening. Yes. Yes. Ha, 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 ha. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Amy team. Well, you may be seated. Woo! Wow. Just undone with the words and the songs and listening to the songs, but also you saw the banner that came out, the victory.
Yes.
God's creating a whole new culture in his church.
Yes.
And I'm not going to say it's a winning culture, it's a victorious culture.
Amen.
Amen. It's a victorious one, and he's already won the battle. The victory is his, and we now get to administrate that. The time of administration of his victory is here, and we're part of that. Amen. I'm so wound up already. Something has shifted just this past week. So get your eyes off of the natural and get your eyes on the spiritual. Because God is moving. And we are in revival. We're not going to get in revival. We saw some things this week that just undid us in celebrating the going home of Mary Seal and hearing the testimony of her kids. And then other kids that were in the school back in the mid-80s that went through the school and they're still serving the Lord. And now their kids are on fire and they got kids after them. I'll tell you what, I got so pumped up, I says, this isn't over. What we're sowing now is yet to see the fruit and the manifestation. It's generational. And so God is doing a mighty thing in the earth, and we get to be a part. So there's a whole shift right now. Halftime, there has to be a shift. The team that shifts best at halftime, that goes in and makes the adjustments, they evaluate the first half and say, hey, we need to make some changes. We need to stop that guy. We need to, you know, block that guy. We need to do something. And the ones that come with a strategic plan for the last half and the 2-minute warning. I'm always amazed what they do in 2 minutes. I'm amazed at those that are exercising in a winning culture, what they do in a minute. Some teams take a whole half to score a touchdown. In a minute, a winning team can march down the field and score. Amen. And so we're in this this push and transition. And I just want to encourage you, stay engaged. I'm amazed at how many people are watching online, how many of the youth that just came up to us at the celebration of Mary's funeral and just said, we watch online, or we watch it during the week. And they're being encouraged, and they're telling their friends. And I'll tell you what, there's excitement in this next generation. Encountering God, and the next generation has gone further than their parents' generation. Amen. They're on fire. And they're passing it to their children. So it's happening right now. I'm not prophesying that. I'm telling you what's happening.
Amen.
Amen. And we get to be a part. So we want to encourage you. Thank you for joining us online. I often forget that we're even online. We're talking to people outside of here. So forgive me that. I just go. And so we thank you for joining us online. You can also, I'm amazed how many people send in offerings online, or how many that don't even attend here that are faithful in their giving. And boy, God's blessing them. And so we thank you for your giving online. You can give online. You give in the envelope. You say, you don't take offerings. No, we don't take and receive offerings. It's your responsibility to bring your tithe and your offering into the house. And there's envelopes to help you. You can put them in the box out there. People say, you know, well, I don't need a receipt for my giving. No, the government has taken care of that for you. It's already built in this new short form, unless you have a lot of deductions. If you have a lot of deductions and a lot of giving, then you get to claim it, but it's built into you. So you're not giving to get a deduction. You're getting in obedience to what God is saying. So we just give you opportunities. There's a lot of ways to give. A lot of things happening. We thank Mike for last week and stirring us up. And I talked to Mike this week and gave him a verbal challenge last week, and I talked to him, followed up, he agreed. So he'll be putting some things together, and as the year progresses, he'll be addressing and some of the issues as we figure out what the important issues are. At this time, we can't tell. They're still jockeying who's going to be where, and don't be moved with everything you see, because it's not over.
Right. Amen.
And so
Amen.
Just keep pressing in, be in prayer. In fact, let's just pray for our nation and pray for what's going on. Father, we thank you that we can come boldly into the throne room of grace in the time of need.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you that we can access mercy and grace. And so, Father, we thank you there's a unified prayer that's coming together. There's a stirring in prayer that we're seeking your face right now. We acknowledge you as King of glory. We acknowledge you as King over all kings. And that means you're King over all governments, all nations. You're King over all presidents and prime ministers and kings and queens. And Father, every leadership will bow its knee and confess Jesus as Lord. So we thank you for a stirring among, Father, our public officials, among our nation, the president's, Father, whoever, Father, we're claiming as president, you're already declared and decreed the beginning from the end. And so we pray right now that you would move sovereignly, that you can turn a heart in an instant. We thank you for, Father, we're going to see Pauline, Father, encounters right now where eyes are going to be open and transformed, hearts are going to be changed. So we pray that over every public official, from the president, the Senate right now, the House of Representatives, the Supreme Court right now into mayors and governors right now, state representatives and state senators in the name of Jesus, right down to every local official on the school board in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you're transforming hearts.
Yes.
Changing hearts, that Father, you're legislating from heaven.
You,
and you're legislating as you change hearts. We thank you right now for this nation right now. You're not done with America. We thank you, Father. You're transitioning us into our ultimate purpose of what we're called to be and who we're called to be right now. That, Father, in the name of Jesus, saturate this state, the state of Michigan. Saturate, Father, us with the presence of God. We say, Father, encounter, Father, our governor right now. And, Father, all those officials in the name of Jesus, open the eyes of their heart that they can see that they, Father, are called for such a time as this, and they're under a higher authority than, Father, who they think. It's not about a party, but it's about, Father, ruling and reigning. And we thank you that you are the ultimate king and you are the ultimate authority. And so we pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done right now in our state, in our nation, in the nations of the earth, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Ooh. Well, children can be dismissed. Come right back real quick. I want to say to you, I don't usually say this, and you haven't heard me say we're going to start a series, so I'm not saying we're starting a series. Because you know that if you've been around long enough, that each week is like a series. Sometimes you think, yeah, it sounds like he's in a series. I just don't say this is part two or part three or part four. But I'm saying this more for me today. This is a series because I believe this is a transitional day. And I cannot possibly give what's in my heart right now and what's manifesting. Let me repent and tell you right now, if you want to encounter God more, prayer and fasting. I want to acknowledge that fasting is a part, but I want to correct. Fasting is not to get God to do something. Fasting is so that you can receive something that you can't receive without sacrifice. You're going to hear a lot about sacrifice. And through the 90s, those that were around, we fasted all the time, it seemed like. At least the whole month of January we did. And then there were other times, 21 days. And boy, I'll tell you, you know, it was great. I remember the revelation that came. And the Lord put back on me just, you know, you need to fast and pray. And I did it. And this weekend, it's wow. Ooh, what have I been missing? You know, so I want to encourage you. It's not about giving up something. It's not about getting God to do something. It's about putting it, be still. We sang it, be still. It's about stilling yourself. And, you know, it's not just about sacrificing something. It's about you putting yourself to be still and experiencing Him as Lord. So let me give you to start, because I'm going to kind of lay the foundation today where we're going. And I'm going to resist. I gave them some of the scriptures back there so that I didn't go way beyond, because really, there's so much in this transition. And God's bringing us back to our original, His original plan for man, which is His original plan for you and I. But let me say this, the reason we're reading Proverbs, and so I'm just going to say this to you. Proverbs starts it off, and that this is not the message, it's laying foundation. The reason we're reading Proverbs, and I'm just going to read out the passion, the very first verse of Proverbs 1, chapter 1. Here are kingdom revelations. Jesus said, He went preaching the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come. Then Jesus told His disciples, the kingdom of God is in you. When you get born again, you receive Jesus. The kingdom is now in you. So Proverbs are kingdom revelations and words to live by. Not words to just think about. Oh my gosh. If you've been reading through Proverbs, it's going to touch every area of your life. These are words not just to listen to, but these are words, and they're kingdom revelations to live by. The kingdom's on the inside, so the kingdom living is going to start on the inside of you first before it manifests out here. He's going to address everything. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful, or it's sharp and alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to dividing of soul and sunder, dividing the thoughts of the mind and the intentions of the heart. What God's going after right now, He's going after the intentions of the heart. You can do the right things with the wrong heart. And when we cry, deep calls on to deep, we're asking Holy Spirit to go deep to the intentions of our heart and the thoughts of our mind. Because that's where the real battle is. It's in the inner man, not on the outer man. The outer man will subject itself to the inner man, but these are kingdom revelations, words to live by. And then it says, and words of wisdom given to empower you to reign in life. That's all I want to say, is to reign in life. Not in the life hereafter, but in this life. And that word reign means to rule, to have dominion over. And we're going to see that that was God's original plan from Genesis. This is a Genesis to Revelation today. But you're not going to be here going through every book. But you need to know what God's ultimate plan was from the beginning and what it's going to end up to look like. Because the process in between is where we're in. So, and words of wisdom given to empower to live in life. I like the footnotes that are in the Passion because it says the Hebrew word for Proverbs means more than just a wise saying. It can also mean to rule, to reign in power, to take dominion.
Hey, come on.
So Proverbs can also be translated, not just wisdom, wise wisdom, but words to rule, to reign, and to have dominion. That's why we're in Proverbs. Because it starts with you and your own individual life. If it can't influence you, you're not going to influence those on the outside of you. So it's an inside-out job. Now let me give you just go as you're reading a Proverbs a day. I know we're in Proverbs 11 today, but the last 3 days there was a common thing that just popped out at me. I underlined and circled. So I'll give you an example of this. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, it says, wisdom pours into you when you begin to hate every form of evil in your life, for that's what worship and fearing God is all about. Here's the definition of the fear of God. It's fearing every evil in your life. To hate it. See, people don't like to hear that God hates something. I'm sorry. That's the other side of the coin. God does hate sin. And every evil. So wisdom pours into you when you begin to hate. You want more wisdom? Then begin to hate what God hates. Every form of evil in your life. Don't point to other people's lives. Every evil in your life. For that's what worship and fearing God is all about. And then in chapter 9, I circled in verse 10. The starting point for acquiring wisdom is to be consumed with awe or the fear as you worship Yahweh. Worship's going to change. We cannot come before a holy God and have things dealing issues in us. I said, Holy Spirit, just restrain me today from pop-up thoughts. You know, there's difference between pop-up thoughts of the Holy Spirit and rabbit trails. Okay, but pop-up thoughts, I want to be obedient to what Holy Spirit is saying. There is an holy awe and fear that's coming back into the church. In Isaiah chapter 11, it talks about the Spirit of God and the Spirit that's coming back. And the last thing it says is the fear of God. The fear of God is not being afraid of God. Let me make this very clear. The fear of God is not being afraid of God, but it's fearing of losing His presence in your life. And what loses the presence of God in your life? It's every evil, every intention of your heart. You can do the right thing and wrong intention. So this is what it says. The starting point for acquiring wisdom is to be consumed. That's the fire of God that's coming. Jesus said, or John the Baptist said of Jesus, He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We haven't yet to see the baptism of fire yet. There's been a few individuals, I believe, but corporately we haven't seen this. The starting point for acquiring wisdom is to be consumed with the fear of God or awe as you worship Yahweh. Okay, this is a pop-up. I'll tell you it's a pop-up. You can no longer be casually of how we worship. We start worship at 10 o'clock and we give a grace period of about 10 minutes. But if you casually walk in and casually worship God, there's not the fear of God in you. There's not the awe of Almighty God. There's got to be a change how we treat worship. And it's not about you feeling good. Well, I don't worship that way. It's not about how you worship. It's about what He's calling us to do. We're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you have the fear of God, coming before holy God, worship is all about Him. And if you casually think, well, I can, you know, come when I want, you're disrespecting. Okay, that's just a side note. So we get a lot of side notes in this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Another pop-up. In the 45 years I've been here, I know there's people that say, I'm going to go after worship because I want the word. I'm going to tell you, if that's your attitude, you're not respecting God. The first part is not to get us situated for the word. I don't stand in the back in the green room waiting for the worship to get done so that I can come out and give my part. Worship is important to me as given the word. In fact, it's more important because it's about Him. So how we treat worship gives me an indication of how you treat the word, how you respect God. So I'll get off your toes now, say amen or oh me. But that was only the second one. The third one is chapter 10, verse 27. Living in worship and the fear of God will bring you many years of contented living. So could the wicked ever expect to have a long, happy life. Living in worship and the fear or awe of God will bring you many years of contented living. How many want years of contented living? Okay. Now, I said this because it said, in the first chapter, it says, these are revelations of the kingdom. And Proverbs is to rule. So let's start and just lay this out this morning, the foundation for the next, I believe it's until Jesus comes back. I don't know why I said that. But go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis. I got to find where I put. I didn't give you my notes, did I? I wrote them down for Steve so I'd stay on track. Genesis chapter 1, I know where I'm going, so we'll just have to go with it. Steve, you can jump up, or Don, or someone back there. Genesis chapter 1, here's man's original purpose for God's creation of man. In verse 26, if we get away from this, we get away from God's original intent and purpose for you and I. He says in verse 26, then God said, thus saith the Lord. This is not an opinion. God said this. Holy Spirit inspired whoever wrote it, Moses or whoever, to write it. God said, let us make man in our image. Let's make man in our image, plural. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. According to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth. Now look what it says first. Let him rule. That's have dominion. Are you hearing? Yeah. It's to have dominion over all the earth, not over people.
Come on.
It's over all the earth, all creation. So when God created all creation, he said it was good. But when God created man and woman, he said this is very good. So here's God's plan for man, that you'll rule over all the earth. You have dominion. Are you hearing this? Verse 20. We might as well read verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. There it is right there.
Yep.
You go beyond God's creation of male and female, you've gone too far.
Yep.
You're way out there.
Yep.
You got out of his authority. So we're not going back down. You can take me off. You can shut us down, but God created man in his image and likeness, and he created them male and female. Period. God did it. We get beyond God's intent in creation. We've gone too far. He's bringing us back in, and we cannot mix words with what the word says. God said it. That's it. It doesn't matter if you believe it. It doesn't change anything. He created him, male and female. He created them. I mean, he made it very clear. God said, I'll create man in my image. And then after he says female, male, he says he created them to make it no doubt on either side. It's the bookends. But then verse 28, God blessed them. We're going to talk about this in a minute. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over all the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, you can say, well, every living thing, that includes people. You're not to rule over them. We'll talk about that in a minute. But look what it says. Four things. Be fruitful, multiply. What are you to multiply? The godly seed of his image that he created you is to be fruitful, to produce that, and to multiply it in the earth. God's original plan was to fill the earth with godly seed. Those created in his image. And it started with Adam and Eve. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it and rule over it. The reason we're in the trouble we're in is we have not fulfilling the earth with godly seed. We violated and got off of his original intention.
Come on, say that again. Oh, yeah.
So we're at halftime. We've gone beyond halftime. We're in the 2 minute. The 2 minutes plan of God. We're in the third day. You know what happened on the third day? We've gone 2,000 years since the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. We're in the third day. We're in the third day, the resurrection. We're in the final quarter. And God is making supernatural adjustments. He's bringing us back to his original intent. And he's created man. It doesn't say apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. It doesn't separate. It just says he created man. He gave Adam no title. He only told him and put him in the garden that he created. And he says, you keep the garden. You watch over it. You till it. You guard it. And when he fell, he transferred his authority to Satan. And you can believe in Satan or not. It's amazing. I heard a statistic that 60% of the church believers and born again confessing believers don't believe there's a devil.
They'll believe it 15 seconds after they're dead.
I'm telling you, you better read your Bible. They will rule. Now let's go to Exodus 19 to see this plan. I told you we're going through the Bible. Exodus 19. Moses, and this is before, before all the law comes. But no, Moses was called up to the mountain. And in verse 4, notice what it says. I want you to just read it yourself before this. But you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. This is the whole plan of redemption. It starts to unfold in this book. But God's plan of redemption is to bring you out of darkness, but not into something else, to bring you to himself. Get this revelation. He didn't save you to make you have a happy life.
Come on.
Right there.
He saved you unto himself, which means he has a plan and a purpose why he saved you. He didn't save you just to get to heaven. He saved you so that you could be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth with the same encounter that you had with Jesus Christ. The same encounter that's changing you is what you're to fill the earth with. Another pop-up, but I'm going to put that one down.
I saw that one.
Maybe I won't. We got to get away from feel-good preaching.
Yeah.
You receive Jesus. He's going to take care of all your problems. How's that working for some of us that have been believers a long time? Some people have died and gone on to be the Lord. Come on, he's going to take care of all your problems. This is not a happy gospel. We'll get into a lot of areas. I'll tell you, stay with it. There's so much that's just unraveling right now. But look what it says. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. This is the plan of redemption. He wants to bring you out of darkness into the kingdom of his son. He brings you out of Egypt. It's easy to get you out of Egypt and out of sin. It's harder to get Egypt and sin out of you. You can get people to make a decision. But I saw some statistics that go back in the 90s, and 80% of people who have made decisions to receive Christ are not following them today. What are we going to do with those? In other words, I wonder if they had a conversion. Because if they had a conversion, they wouldn't be falling back into Egypt. He brought you out of Egypt, out of sin, onto himself. Not to save you from your problems. Look at the next part. And we sang this morning. I heard it even prophetic as Amy sang this. Look at verse 5. Now then, you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. You will obey my voice. There's two things that happen. You first have to hear his voice. But that's right now an easy part. The hard part is obeying his voice. He's telling them even back then, you need to hear his voice. But that's one side of the coin. That's the one that builds their house on sand. The one that builds herself on the rock hears a voice and obeys it. I'm going to hit this hard, really hard. We got to shatter this. That I've been delivered from works. Because there are works of righteousness. And I'm going to show you this. There's works that get saved. You can't get works that get saved. But once you get saved, there are works. Some people say, I'm not under works. We got to shatter this lie. You're going to see it in the next several weeks. You cannot read the Bible without recognizing there's works of righteousness. And the works of righteousness only come when you get the King of righteousness on the inside of you.
Amen.
Look what it says. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. The key here is covenant. Every relationship involves a covenant. You come into covenant with Jesus. We'll talk about that. I can even see it 3 weeks away going into Communion Sunday. Something we're going to teach about covenant. But that's why marriage is in there. It's covenant. And when we take God's covenant in our lives lightly, then it affects the covenant in marriage and every other covenant. He says, obey my voice and keep. Not think about my covenant, not be able to teach my covenant, but man, my covenant is living on the inside of you. That's why we're reading Proverbs. Because he wants to get everything that's of the flesh out, every intention of the heart, so that we can, he says, you can keep the covenant. I want to tell you, Jesus, we get into Jesus in this model. I'm just trying to lay the foundation today. I'm doing the best I can. So stay with me. And keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession. There's the condition. If you don't obey and keep his covenant, what does that say? You won't be his possession. So he took you out of darkness onto himself so that he could be your possession. Jesus is not just a side encounter that we put on in this life so that when we get to life. No, when you made him Lord, he came in to take control. And we're moving from lordship into understanding kingship. In fact, Jesus said, you know, he's put his kingdom on the inside of you. So we need to understand, and he preached the kingdom. We're going to be hearing a lot about the kingdom, and it's different than what the church has said it is. It's not just a concept. It's a takeover. And it's not just a takeover in the hereafter life. It's a takeover here and now. You shall be my own possession among all the people. Here's the promise. Among all the peoples. So we're to, what? Go out and preach the gospel and disciple nations. You can't disciple nations if you haven't been discipled yourself. The thing they noticed about Jesus was he spoke with one as authority. I'm going to tell you, if you're not under authority, the demons, the demonic, no.
Yeah, they do.
People are getting destroyed in the church because the intentions of their heart is to serve God. And they know the word of God, but their actions are different. And the devils are taking over. And you can't blame the devil. We got to go and we got to, it's discipling. People just don't get saved to get them out of the mess. The people that don't get something put on the inside of them are in worse condition after. Because you clean their house out, and if you don't fill it with Jesus and get them discipled, then seven that are worse or... How many, I'm tired of seeing people that received Jesus, got excited for a little while, and then you find them in a year or 2 years or a couple months, and they're worse than they were before they met Jesus. We got to be really honest. Are we really getting conversions, or are we getting decisions? My own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. I want to take you to 1 Peter chapter 2, because this is quoted by Peter. Not only are we to be a kingdom of priests and kings, and he told Israel that, and they rejected it. They says, we don't want, well, we're afraid of this God. That was afraid of God. So they said, Moses, you go up there, you get the word of God. You come down, you speak. It sounds like church today. Come on. We'll go to church and pastor would tell us what he's encountered. Or tell us the word of God. And they refused to go up with Moses. They were afraid of God, and were not to fear God that way, because they saw the mountains shake and the lightnings and the thunders. I don't even know where to go. 1 Peter 2 is a good place to go. I'm telling you, we're in a major shift. And you can be a part of the shift or you can be run over by the shift. Are you following? And I'm kind of preaching to the choir because you're here because you're looking for something. But I'm telling you, wherever you are, there's more. And he's taken us deeper and faster than we've ever been before. It took, how many years before they got a teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit into this earth? It took them another so many years to get teachings. But we're in accelerated revelation now. And the revelation of Proverbs is for the kingdom. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. The quote here, a kingdom of priests and kings. Stay with us because in the next few weeks you're going to see the church has to transition out of being priest to being priest and kings. And you can't be a king until you're a priest. I'm just giving you some stuff where we're going. Going to whet your appetite. And I'll tell you what a priest does. But look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to start with verse 4. And, well, let's start with verse 1 because it says and. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore. Well, we could back up and say, because of chapter 1, therefore. So you'll have to read chapter 1. When you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. Go back and read. It's telling you, don't just take a sentence out of context. Because the context is in the therefore that precedes that. Oh, that's another Bible teaching. Therefore, we're not going back, therefore. Putting aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander like newborn babes. I'm not going in that one. He's not talking to the unbeliever. He's talking to believers. This is to the church. Put aside all slander. Put aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy. Woo! Quit dressing up and going to church like you're saved. Doesn't matter what you put on the outside. It's what's on the inside. Verse 2, like newborn babies. Long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you might grow in respect to salvation. You got saved by grace, but you have not walked in the fullness of what that cross has paid for you. So if you desire the sincere milk, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, man shall live not by bread alone, but by every word. So if you long for the word, the revelation, it says you'll grow up. It's time the church accelerates and grows up.
Yes.
It's time for maturity. If we're relying on someone else to spoon feed us all the time, I'll tell you what, there's a revelation that's undone me. I know it. I try to stay away from it. You got scriptures you try to stay away with? You know why I stay away with them? Because I'm not walking in them. There's a scripture in 1 John chapter 2 that you don't need anyone to teach you because you got the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the inside. He's convicted me. Why do I have to keep running to others to tell me? I got the great teacher on the inside. And his job is to form Christ in me. It's to reveal Christ. I'm telling you, we got to desire the sincere milk of the word. You won't grow without the sincere milk of word and without Holy Spirit. But then it goes on to say, if you had tasted the goodness of God, it's kind of a question. If you have tasted that goodness, then verse 4 says, and. So it connects it, like therefore, and. And coming to him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. It's his house he's building. And we'll talk about that in the weeks ahead. You haven't arrived. You are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood.
Oh, let's go on. To offer, what does a priest do? It offers up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It does not offer up blood of goats and bulls and all that. That's why Romans chapter 12 is so critical. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable act of worship. So the spiritual house he is building is us. Woo! So we present ourselves living sacrifice. When we get done with this, you won't be able to stay out of Hebrews. You'll understand Hebrews. Hebrews is a transition from the old order, the Levitical priesthood, into the new order. And once you understand that, you understand that we're priests, just like the Levitical priesthood, but all of us are called to be priests, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. The priesthood in the Old Testament offered up sacrifices. In the New Testament, the priesthood offers up sacrifices also. But theirs were dead, ours are alive.
Hallelujah. Come on.
If we're not offering up ourselves, we're not operating in the priesthood of God.
That's right.
A spiritual house for a holy priesthood. Hang on to that holy. Because Holy Spirit, that's why I call him holy. Holy Spirit is coming in to make you holy. It says you are holy as he is holy. But then other scriptures say be holy. In other words, you're in the process of putting on what he says is the final result. As you desire the sincere milk of the word, you're going to grow into this. This was not God, my plan. My plan would have been, if they got born again, man, they're there. I haven't said this in a long time. Don't say it.
Not at Amy.
I'll say it over here.
Okay.
If it was my plan of salvation, I'd get them saved and then shoot them and let them go to heaven. Because they're not going to get any more holy than when they first got saved. we'll skip discipling. Okay, so just don't receive that. That's not biblical. That's not my beliefs. That's just, if it were me, aren't you glad? Okay. Oh, help us. Help me. Behold. Notice what it says, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God. You're not to offer up any sacrifice. It's that's acceptable to God.
Amen.
He determines how you worship and how you live your life. In fact, Proverbs is going to tell you he determines what every decision you make in your life. I'll hold off until we get to Melchizedek because he's done something real practical to see if you're offering up spiritual sacrifices and what you do with your money. So I'll go quiet there and I won't go on until we get to preaching on this. Oh, it's at least 2 weeks away, maybe next week, but I know it's two or three. For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. I'm going to tell you this message of the cross and Jesus. When you start speaking, it's going to be a rock of offense. And it would be a stumbling block for even those that believe. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. Woo! I'm going to tell you the message of Jesus is an offense. And I'm going to tell you it's a bigger offense to those that are believers. The world could care less. I mean, they'll spit at you and laugh at you, mock you. But the church you talk about being holy, even as he is holy, and that it's possible. This message of Jesus, for they stumble because they are disobedient. To the word. Some people don't want to read the word because you find out what's in the word, then you're accountable. One way not being accountable, don't get in the word. One way don't get in the word is stay away from here. Fred Price used to say, lock the doors because we're going to preach the word. You can get out now because you're not accountable for what you don't know. But when you leave, you're going to get the word and you're going to be accountable. You can no longer say, I didn't hear it. So, a stone with stumbling and a rock of offense. Wow. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But, verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellency of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy, but now have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior. Yes. Yeah. Your actions. Excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, your good deeds, glorify God in the day of visitation. The number one way I ask people why you don't go to church, because the church is a bunch of hypocrites. I've come to the realization that's true. Not here. But you understand what I'm saying? Did you read that? The reason people don't want what we have is they see hypocrisy in ourselves. Your neighbor says, where are you going every Sunday? You say, to church. You want to come with me? No, because I see the way you live every day. If that's what the church produces in you, I already do that. Come on. Okay, we'll get off your toes again. But you are a chosen generation or chosen race, a royal priesthood. And that, again, is from Exodus 19. You shall be a kingdom of priests. And here it says a holy priesthood and a king. So ruling and reigning as priests and kings. Now, I told you we're going from Genesis to Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Go to Revelation chapter 1. In verse 4, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace and to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from the sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and honor and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. Notice what it says. He has made us. Once he takes you out of darkness and puts you in the kingdom of God, he's making you to be a kingdom. A priest, a holy kingdom, a royal. That means, royal means kingship. So a royal priesthood is a kingly priesthood. So he's made us from the beginning of time in his creation of man to rule and reign with him. We have to rule and reign over ourselves before we can rule and reign over those around us and the influence.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Are you following this?
Yes.
Wow. So, chapter 5. It's another place where it speaks of this. In chapter 5, John says in verse 1, I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and break its seals? And no one in heaven and on earth or under the earth was able to open the book to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome to open the book and its seals. And I saw between the throne, we're going to talk a lot about the throne. The throne's talking about rulership and kingship. Okay? And we're seated with him. So it says, and he took the book. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. You're hearing a lot about these seven spirits. Read Isaiah 11, and we'll take you sometime through that. But Isaiah 11 talks about the Spirit of God, and the last one is the fear of the Lord, the seven spirits of God that are before the throne. In fact, I just read chapter 7 or 8, 9 of Proverbs, it says the seven pillars of God. I believe these are the pillars, the foundation, these seven spirits that are around the throne. We'll talk about that later. Sent out into all the earth, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and a golden bowl, golden bowls full of incense. The golden bowls full of incense are prayers. We're going to see that the priesthood, number one thing is to offer up sacrifices of prayer. Intercession. We're going to see that Jesus models this as the high priest. And we're to follow him. He's the forerunner. He's gone before us to show us what we're to be doing. So a priest is offering up intercession on behalf of others. And so that's the bowls of incense that they hold in one hand. In the other hand, they hold the harps, which is our worship. So it's very important. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, and you were slain and purchased for God, and your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Notice what it says. You have a tribe. You are a people. He doesn't distinguish. All nations. And then what it says, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God. Your number one assignment is to be a priest and a king. That's your purpose for being here on the earth. Within that, you get unique assignments, but your ultimate purpose. He brought you onto himself to make you priests and kings. Are you getting this? To rule and reign with him. He's looking for a group of people that take on this concept that we know we're seated with him in heavenly places, and that when he gives us assignment, there's a group that can pray this in, that can release it. They're praying.
Yes. Amen.
You have been made, you have made them to be a kingdom and priest to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Notice, they're not going to reign in heaven. And you can say it's after the tribulation, after the 1,000-year reign, we're going to reign with him. No, he's talking about you're going to reign with him on earth. Now.
Amen.
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 So we got to shake off this, you know, a victim mentality. We got a victorious future. We got a victorious culture that we're entering into. Woo! Faith is now. I believe now is the time. Now faith to apprehend your destiny here on earth. And it's just preparing you for your eternal destiny. But eternity doesn't start when you get to heaven. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that you might know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one he sent. And it's not know about him information. It's about encountering, experiencing him. So eternal life, when you experience and are born again, you begin your journey on to eternal life. Ooh. In fact, well, let's go to Romans 14 and I'll see if I can wrap it up here. Just setting some things out, said a lot of things today. I might have to go back and listen to what I said. That would be really new. Oh. But I guess I'm saying this to be accountable to him, but also to you. Amen?
Amen.
I believe we're at a critical timing. We got to stop fooling around.
It's all true.
Pretending we got time. I mean, time's running out, you know. Get into the two-minute mode. He's coming back anytime, you know. Is he going to find you occupying?
Yes.
Romans chapter 14, verse 16. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing to be spoken as evil. For the kingdom of God is. You want to know what the kingdom of God is? The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not what's going on in your natural life. It's not about meeting your needs. That's not the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. If we get in the Father's business, he'll get in our business. And his business is meeting your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Our business is to seek first the kingdom of God. So he says, for the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking. It's not in this natural realm. It's not about the politics. It's not about the election. Although, you know, we need to be involved. We're going to keep pressing that. We need to get involved. But it's about his kingdom. Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what is the kingdom of God? Notice the first thing he puts here.
Righteousness.
Peace and joy. And then what does he say? In who? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. I like saying Holy Ghost. It just seems like it has more oof to it than Holy Spirit. Doesn't it? I mean, when I say it, you know, I think, okay. But the kingdom of God is this. You've already experienced Jesus. Now you've seen the kingdom. Now you're entering into the kingdom of God is righteousness. And it's not only being righteous, but it's doing righteous works. And out of it, he puts righteousness first. Out of that, you'll experience peace and joy. And it's in the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit's responsibility is to bring you into righteousness, not just right standing. You did that when you got saved. Now the Holy Spirit is in the process of bringing you into maturity, Christ-likeness. That your life manifests what you say you are in Christ. Are you following this? Righteousness, peace and joy. Or you're going to be, in fact, as you go through Proverbs, just circle or mark somewhere all the times it talks about righteousness. I'll wait till next week. If it's Holy Spirit, he'll bring it to remembrance. If it's not, then I shouldn't say it. Is that right? Was it Isaiah 32? Is that where? Yeah. Turn to Isaiah 32. This is the last one. Is it Isaiah 32? No, it's Zechariah. What's that? It's Zechariah. Zechariah Zechariah 6, verse 12. Listen to this one. This is really good. Then he said to him, thus says the Lord of hosts. So who is speaking? Every time you say God says, or thus says the Lord of hosts, this is a word right from heaven. You better pay attention. Don't take it lightly and run by it. This, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold a man whose name is Branch. In Isaiah 11, it says a branch. The branch is Jesus. He's a branch of the Father, so you don't know who it is. He gets revealed through Scripture. A branch whose name is Branch, for he will branch out from who, where he is. He branched out from heaven. He came to earth. Come on. I mean, that's just remarkable to think. He is God. He's been with God since creation. And all of a sudden, he comes as a baby. Couldn't you at least send me a little bit more? No. He came as a man to experience what you and I will experience, yet without sin. He's tempted in every area as you and I, yet he never gave in to the temptation. So the branch, whose name is Branch, for he will branch out for where he is, and he will build the temple of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, there's a shift going on in the body. The temple he is building currently is our bodies are the temple of Holy Spirit. He'll build a spiritual house, and you are being built into a spiritual house, not a physical dwelling place. He will build the temple of the Lord. Verse 13, yes, it is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will bear the honor and sit and rule on the throne. That word bear there in other translations, he will bear the glory. Look what it says. He will bear the honor and glory and sit and rule on his throne. Thus he will be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace will be between the two offices. What are the two offices? Priest and king. When we start operating in the priesthood and kingship, we'll not only have righteousness, but we'll have peace and joy. This is not going to be a hard thing. People say, it's so hard being a Christian. Well, stop trying to be a Christian. Come out of that lie. Because when we think of a Christian, we look at everybody else that says they're a Christian. Be real honest, you look at them and you think, I don't want to be like that. We got to get our eyes off of comparing ourselves one with another and get our eyes on Jesus. He's the branch. He's choosing how he's building his temple. And he says, I'm going to send you one just like me, the person of Holy Spirit. And he's not only going to be with you, he's going to be in you. And the reason he's in you is to lead you and guide you in all truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth. He's in you. I mean, you think Jesus had a hard job. Holy Spirit's got a tougher job. He's got to form Christ in you. You just get to receive Christ as your Lord. And I know the cross was hard, and we're not making light of the cross. But once you get to the cross, you got to get beyond into growing. You got to remember what you came out of. The blood of Jesus. In fact, it says in Corinthians, it says he paid a price. And it was a high price. And the price was his blood. So that you could walk in newness of life. And we need to honor that price. It says, thus, he will be priest on his throne. He will be priest on his throne. And you know what? He's invited us to be seated with him in heavenly places as priests and kings. Ooh! And kingship is ruling with him. And when we understand what priesthood's all about, it's about sacrifice and offering. Then we can move into ruling and reigning with him. He saved you, he's redeemed you, and brought you onto himself so that you can be made in his image and his likeness, be just like him, to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to subdue it, and to rule on the earth, to see his kingdom come and his will be done in my life, on the inside of us. I'm telling you, we're in transition time. And no other generation has gotten this opportunity, or they would have completed the course. The fact we're here, we know it's not complete. And he's coming back for a bride without spot and without wrinkle. That's talking about a church in Ephesians 5. I often would think, well, gosh, it's not going to be in my lifetime. Just look at me. God, I got so much growing. Look at the church. It's going to be a fast work. Amen. And those that responded, it'd be a quick work. So the next few weeks, or whenever, we're going to be talking about the priesthood. I can tell you this. This is the Melchizedek priesthood. You have heard very few people talk about the Melchizedek priesthood. It's because the church is still operating in a Levitical priesthood. But the one that Jesus came in, and that's what Hebrews is all about. He's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And you're going to see some remarkable things about that order. Whew, I can't wait to next week. Father, I thank you this morning that Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, you're adjusting us right now. We thank you that your plan of salvation didn't stop at the cross. That when we got saved and born again, you said we see the kingdom. You said when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we enter the kingdom. But you're calling us now to begin to possess the kingdom so that we can advance the kingdom, so that we might see the fulfillment of the kingdom of God come into the earth just as it is in heaven, that we're not trying to make heaven like earth. You said heaven is the prototype, and that you're making earth like heaven. And so Jesus is seated on the throne of David, making intercession for us. He's ruling and he's reigning. And so he's inviting us to come and be seated with him in heavenly places. Thank you, Jesus. You're building a spiritual house. And we thank you. We're part of that house. So you're building us to be the containment, the fulfillment of all that Jesus did for us and all that he's doing. Thank you that we don't stop at the grave and we don't stop at resurrection because he ascended. So we thank you. We're ascending with Jesus into the high places. So Father, I thank you that in this time we hear, Father, that it's a 2-minute warning. But Jesus said, you said, Father, don't be asleep. You gave the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them just kind of fell asleep but weren't ready. You're telling us to be ready, to occupy, yes, to be doing the work of the kingdom, multiplying, being fruitful, subduing, ruling, reigning. So we thank you right now. This is our call. This is our mission. Want to know what life is all about? This is it. To encounter Jesus, but then to go into his fullness and bring heaven to earth. Father, I thank you right now for each one. It starts with a decision to receive Jesus as Lord of your life. It says, this is eternal life, that you might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, his Son. Jesus said, if you want to know what God is like, look at me. For I'm a replication, I'm a exact image and likeness of the Father. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So it starts with having an encounter with Jesus. So this morning, if you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, maybe you said that prayer and invited him in, but he really wasn't Lord. You're still making all your decisions on your own. He's on the external of your life, and you bring him in only when you're in trouble. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you encounter Jesus. You have an encounter with the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh, and the flesh was Jesus. So we thank you this morning that we can receive Jesus and enter into that eternal revelation of what we're here for and where we're going. But Father, we thank you. You've already settled where we're going. But we're not to go until we finish our assignment. Multiplying, being fruitful, ruling and reigning. So if you're here this morning, and just join. I just love praying this prayer. I love getting born again. So say, Father, I thank you. I thank you. This is a new day. And you said today is the day of salvation. And I thank you that Jesus provided the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we acknowledge you, Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. And we believe in our heart that you died for my sins, that you saved me, that you not only went to the cross, but you went to the grave. And you paid the price for sin, which is eternal separation from the Father. And I thank you that you overcame death through your resurrection. And when you were raised, I was raised with you. So I now acknowledge Jesus as Lord of my life. I believe in the resurrection. And I receive him now in Jesus' name. And now, Father, I thank you. Say this. Father, I thank you that I'm a candidate to be filled with Holy Spirit. You said, if I ask, I shall be filled. The same way that I received Jesus, by grace through faith, I receive Holy Spirit. You said, if I ask and I believe, I shall receive. So I thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. I receive the infilling, the baptism of Holy Spirit. And I welcome you, Holy Spirit, to fill me with the fire of holiness and the fire of God. I surrender to you, Holy Spirit, to form Christ in me. In Jesus' name. Well, let's just pray in the spirit. If you could, Rabba Sata Rabba Shata Rabba Hashotore, Buranda Rada Bokuranda Rada Hato Torobototare, Bashata Robokuranda Rala Butute Lehe Satara, Buranda Rata Randa Roborondara, Asato Rosoto Roke Karanda Roboshotara, Bashanda Raboshote de He Sata, Brosharele Bokurandare, Aranda Rabashata Rabaha, Bushanda Raboko Ronda Rabosota Rabosoto Toshite, Bushandara Mama. Welcome. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, speaking in tongues is not Holy Spirit, it's the evidence of being filled. And it says in Mark 16, if you believe, Mark 16, it says, if these signs shall follow them, believe. One of them is you lay hands on the sick. We say, I believe that. But it also says they shall speak with new tongues. The thing that hinders us from receiving the evidence of speaking in tongues is we don't believe. But let's stand. We want to pray too. One of the evidence of believers, and we got a lot of believers here because we just prayed. If you prayed that, you're born again. Amen. What do you need to do? You need to start reading the Word. You need to start fellowshipping with those and that are fellow believers. Amen. Don't try to win the loss until you get saved. Well, that's okay. If you're here today and you have pain in your body, just raise your hands. You have pain, just keep your hands up. The rest of you don't have your hands up are believers, right? Because you just prayed that. So these signs that follow, keep your hands up. If the hands are up, I want believers to come and just lay hands on. Just keep your hands up. There's several down here. We need to probably multiply and get out a little bit. Come on over. Father, we thank you. And this is what you just say. Just say in the name of Jesus. I lay hands and I command sickness, come out. Be healed right now. I declare a restoration in her body right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come out right now. Every spirit of infirmity, come out, restore, Father, that what the enemy has taken in Jesus' name. I lay hands on the sick. We thank you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Healing right now is the bread portion of the believer. Lay hands and speak. Say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name, we receive healing. Impart it right now in the name of Jesus. These signs follow them that believe. Sickness, go. Disease, go. Spirit of infirmity, go right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every spirit of infirmity, every spirit of sickness right now, we command you to loose your grip, to take your hands off of. In the name of Jesus, we speak supernatural healings right now. Restoration of body parts right now. In the name of Jesus. Restore. In the name of Jesus. 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 Anybody did not receive prayer, just raise your hand. Father, we thank you that, Father, this is corporate anointing. So we release the corporate anointing to break every stronghold. I bind doubt, non-belief, and command right now. Doubt, non-belief, and fear, come out. And release courage, release strength right now. Release healing right now in these bodies. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed. That's what the word says. Be healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many felt something shift in them? At least 30%, maybe. 20%. More. We say, more, Lord. The work that you begun right now, you said you would bring to completion. So we thank you. You said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we stay in faith. We laid hands on and we thank you for healings, miraculous ones, but also for recovery in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Woo. Okay. You're empowered. You're ambassadors of Jesus. You're priests. You're kings. Go in the power of his might and strength. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.